Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending, it's a Red Friday in Kansas City. Of course, the Chiefs getting set to head up to the Meadowlands for Sunday Night Football, taking on the Giants. The game right here on 96.5 The Fan. You'll hear Chiefs pregame coverage begin 3 hours before kickoff there on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan.
The lights just flicker?
It did. That's why, yes, okay. I saw it as well.
Sometimes you ever wonder if it's like, did I blink weird?
No. The lights flickered.
And I wasn't sure.
Or is it might be the reflection in here because these
flickered.
Yeah, like the above our heads.
Anyway,
Yeah. Next up on What's Trending, the Bills winners over Miami for Thursday Night Football, 31-21. They moved to 3-0 on the season. Josh Allen becomes the quickest quarterback to 300 career touchdowns in NFL history. Obviously, the rushing and passing element. Big benefit on that end, but obviously it's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But they moved to 3-0. Miami stinks. No McDaniel firing. He'd have been canned already, honestly.
Well, he shouldn't
be.
Not after last night.
Their team showed fight. They didn't quit on him. So Mike McDaniel lives another week.
Yeah, I think it's week by week for him, but his team did not look like they were quitting on him. They looked very prepared. I thought the game plan was great. Tua, just, my goodness, what a terrible interception. And then the roughing the kicker, roughing the punter also. Two big mistakes. Next up on What's Trending, Kansas taking on West Virginia tomorrow. 5 o'clock kickoff in Lawrence. Big 12 play opening up for them. Missouri, a big one, as we discussed earlier, against South Carolina. Lenora Sellers, the quarterback for South Carolina, is listed as probable. That is big news. The line is starting to continue to go down. It's down to 9.5. It keeps going. 9.5 is still a pretty big number. But Missouri, we all agree, if they win that one, it puts them in a real position to start talking college football playoff. They got a lot of big games ahead of them, but it would keep that hope alive, and you'd have to start really thinking that they could pull it off. The Kansas State Wildcats are on a bye, a much-needed bye.
I will say, the books, big believers in Kansas football. They must believe in what Jalen Daniels has been doing.
That's a lot of points. I'll be there tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it, but that's a lot of points.
First chance to see the finished side of the new stadium.
Yeah, I'll be on the west side of the stadium that's done.
That'd be pretty lame for you to go sit on the old dusty side.
No, I'm looking forward to checking out some of the new areas of Memorial Stadium.
Next up on What's Trending, Royals losers in a day game yesterday, 2-0. To the Mariners, we'll take on the Blue Jays tonight at the Cave for the final home series of the year. We'll see whether or not they can get a couple of wins this week. And obviously, they've played themselves out of the playoffs. But the teams they're playing, Mariners are still fighting for the division. Mm-hmm. Blue Jays are still fighting for the division. It's a mess between them, the Red Sox, and the Yankees. And so they're going to be on Friday Night Baseball tonight. If you don't catch them on 96.5 The Fan, they'll be over on Apple TV.
Yeah, Max Scherzer, I believe, on the bump for the Blue Jays this evening. Lastly, on What's Trending, we know the whole week is about quarterback injuries. A lot of backup quarterbacks going to get starts. We found out about a half hour or so ago, Jaden Daniels ruled out for the Commanders game. Marcus Mariota will get the start against the Raiders. Joe Burrow had successful surgery on that toe. Remember his timeline. The reports are 3 months. The team not giving a timeline right now, but there's going to be numerous backup quarterbacks starting. No Jaden Daniels this week. No J.J. McCarthy. No Joe Burrow. Brock Purdy's up in the air heading into Sunday's game. So it's a week full of QB injuries.
Yeah, that's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Out of curiosity, which of, like, the more this week actually really tested the theory of, like, Andy was always gone with the veteran backup. I told you before, like, I'd be kind of interested in developing a guy.
Yeah, Gardner Minshew's a good vet.
But I was thinking about it more as, like, Drew was talking about Jake Browning and some of the other teams were talking about it. Mm-hmm. It's like, he has 7 career starts and you're just like, oh, he's better than all of them. I'm like, man, are we sure? And like, yes. I found myself,
there you go.
I know you're sure, Drew, but I'm just telling you right now, of the backup quarter, what order would you start them in this weekend? Of the backup quarterback starting
all
this
right,
weekend.
So hold on. Let's get the list. Carson Wentz.
Wentz.
Browning. And I swear I'm not listing these in order, although I might accidentally.
Mariota.
Maybe Mac Jones.
Tyrod?
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor. Fields is ruled out. Brock Purdy is not ruled out officially yet, so it could be Mac Jones.
Let's just call it Mac Jones.
Okay,
for now.
I think that's it.
Of those five, so Wentz, Browning, Mariota, Tyrod, Mac Jones?
Yeah.
Of those, which would you do last? Tyrod, right? We all agree on Tyrod last?
No.
What? Who's last?
Are you factoring in the system they're in, or just any system? All equal. Everything's equal?
Equal system. Best case scenario.
Equal system. Mac Jones is last.
Yes, agreed.
Oh, man. Tyrod's last for me.
No, Carson from the bottom next. Up, if it was equal, everything equal, Mac Jones, then Tyrod, and then, honestly, Browning and Wentz is a coin flip. It's a coin flip for me.
Yeah, I don't think that those are as far
Mariota,
as...
Mariota. So, yeah, the bottom would be...
I think I'd rather start Mariota. Browning
Jones,
be in the middle.
Tyrod, Mariota, and then... To me, the top two would be coin flip between Wentz and Browning.
Drew, I know that this is one of these things is something we talk about that happens in sports all the time, and that's totally normal. And then you can give your list of the five, which is we've never seen one guy fail versus the other guy succeed. Touchdown to interception ratio, passing yards per game, passing yards per attempt. Mac Jones is just as good as Jake Browning, but he's actually done it 50 times versus 7 times. And so technically they've been statistically very similar quarterbacks, Drew. I mean, again, at every conceivable yards per game, and he's had much more favorable, I think we'd argue, much more favorable passing situations than that given to Mac Jones at any point in his career. Like, I'd almost rather start Mac Jones. Browning would be third or fourth for me, is the truth. But like
that low?
Yeah, I've seen him seven football games. He's thrown to Jamar Chase.
But he still could, just because he's played, so that doesn't mean he's not better than Mac Jones or something. Mac Jones
is more.
I'm not
saying he can't be, but if you just made me start one guy this weekend, I'd start Mac Jones probably first.
Yeah, I think Carson Wentz has a strong case. I think Carson Wentz is going to look really good at the Kevin O'Connell system. I actually believe he's his hometown team and everything as well. I actually think Carson Wentz is going to play pretty well.
Drew, yours would be Jake Browning one, I assume?
Yeah, Jake Browning one.
Tyrod's not last. I can't believe we didn't all agree on that one.
No, I would say Jake Browning one. I would say.
Drew doesn't want to say Carson Wentz because he's playing the Vikings.
No,
he thinks
no,
it's a massive gap.
No, I think it's
Jake
a coin flip between Carson and Tyrod for two. And then,
man,
Tyrod might be the GOAT backup.
Yeah.
And then I think Mariota
ago.
And then Mac Jones.
What makes you okay?
Man, Tyrod. This is, you know, this is what I kind of like about backup quarterback.
Who is Tyrod backing up for?
He's 36 years old
the
now.
Jets?
I think you guys are insane. Tyrod should be dead last.
He's 36 years old now.
Dead last. He should be at the bottom.
It's him or Mac Jones at the bottom. He's 36. This is not the same Tyrod, you know, or Tyrod, I guess. Sorry.
Tyrod Taylor. He has started
Did you know
career.
Pro Football Reference says his nickname is T-Mobile?
Because he always throws it into coverage or what?
T-Mobile.
Like, what's the joke?
Yeah, he might have some signal loss heading into this game on Sunday.
I think Wentz is actually being skewed by Kansas. This is a terrible question to ask Kansas Cityans. Because Carson Wentz started one game for the Chiefs last year.
But they didn't try.
And he looked awful.
The game plan was
God,
not even a
really
game
awful.
Plan. It wasn't even
but
a
it's
game plan.
One game. It wasn't even a game plan.
My prediction is Carson Wentz out of this group will be have one of the best performances of these five or six guys on Sunday.
Favorable situations. He gets to throw to, you know, Justin Jefferson. And if he has to start a second game, he'll get Jordan Addison back after a week. Right?
I think that's true. Also why that the you know the situation behooves itself where the 49ers don't have a lot. They don't have a full complement of weapons.
True.
So it are, and I know that Mac Jones looked fine last week, and Jake Browning looked bad.
Mm-hmm. But three picks, right?
Yeah. He was particularly terrible. But if we're talking situations as well, like I think Mariota's probably. If we're talking situations,
situations change because Browning's in the best one or the second best.
Yeah,
one.
Tyrod and Mariota are in the last two probably.
Mm-hmm. I was just
to be a quarterback.
I was just saying neutral. Like if Mac Jones was starting, but he was throwing to Jamar Chase just the same, I'd rather start Mac Jones.
I don't know about that.
He's a veteran quarterback who's been in the situation. Jake Browning's stats aren't any better or worse than his.
I think Mac Jones just sucks.
I think Jake Browning might suck. And at least I like
he does
at
not
least
suck
I,
because he kept him in the playoff hunt that one year. And I think that alone is what
this is insane. If that's the case, if we're making a 7-game sample size, a decision on whether there's somebody not sucks, well, then Mac Jones can't.
We'll
I'll find 7 games.
I don't know. Do you think
on Monday
can,
we will
we can
find
out?
We'll talk about
that
it
Mac
Monday.
Jones didn't suck. Do you think we can find
I
7 games?
Guarantee you, we can find 7 games.
I don't
Mac
have
Jones
much interest
suck.
In doing this exercise, but we can.
I don't know if we can find 7 for Mac Jones. I don't know.
I would like to excuse myself from this conversation.
I understand the Carson Wentz stuff. I understand.
Hey, can I just give you the first 7 games of Mac Jones' career?
Okay.
Would that suffice since the 7 games we're talking about for Jake Browning?
All right, go for it.
Were the 7 games? Okay, let me, okay. Oh, 7 games. No, I had it. It was just the computer was thinking slow. Okay. First 7 games of his career, he had 1,779 passing yards, 9 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and a 70% completion percentage. That is a completion percentage higher than Jake Browning's. It is a touchdown to interception ratio the same as Jake Browning's, and he's a few yards behind him. So, like, the same?
What was the record in the first 7 games?
Oh, 4-3 and 4 versus 4-3. Looked it up. I'm just telling you right now, you've gone delusional over Jake Browning. 7 games that he filled in 2 years ago.
I will take Jake Browning.
That's
with
fine.
A compliment of weapons right. over Mac Jones.
Let's wait till Monday.
I guess we'll have to find out. You know, when the Bengals are 3-0 on Monday,
we are still talking about backup quarterbacks.
When the Bengals are 3-0, it's going to be a tough space to be in on Monday.
Let's switch over to starting tight ends.
Please.
Let's switch over to starting tight ends. Travis Kelce on his podcast had at least hinted at the idea that the Chiefs need and utilize him a lot. People took it different ways. I told you earlier in the show, I took it less of a, hey, I'm being overused, more than a, I'm relying on a lot, and I got to be better in those spots as a result of it. I think because of the way some read it, Patrick Mahomes got asked a question in a press conference asking if they're overusing Travis Kelce, in which Patrick Mahomes had this to say.
I honestly don't know. I mean, I know he wants to be out there at the end of the day. I mean, he wants to have the chance to make the plays happen, and he's made the plays happen for years. And so I don't feel like we asked for too much from him, but I mean, we asked for him to be out there and be himself and just be who he is. And I think that in itself is enough for us. And so, I wouldn't, that's probably a question you can ask Trav, but I feel like he's in a good spot and it's hard to get him off the field. I know that.
What's weird is this is one of those spots, kind of like with Salvador Perez, where I actually kind of actively blame organizations for not having a difficult conversation with a player. Right now, they don't have a choice with Travis Kelce. They got to use him the maximum amount for the next 4 games until Rashee Rice is back. Hopefully, Xavier Worthy stays healthy and Hollywood Brown stays healthy. They have to use him. But at some point, tapering his usage so that he's better in December and January is just smart. It's just smart football the way that they should do it. Don't do it as successfully as I'd like with Salvador Perez. They should find a way to manipulate his time where we could see a little bit more Noah Gray in a snap or two, or Tonyan in a snap or two, and adjust it just a little.
So Travis Kelce, you know, last week I think had 77 or 80% of the snaps. You know, right now with this offense, with not having Worthy, although we think he's back Sunday, but they didn't the last 2 weeks. We all know about Rice. We've gone over that. They can't afford to take Travis Kelce off the field any more than the 77% of snaps. You
I
know?
Agree. I mean, I'm just saying, like, going forward.
I think last year when the offense was supposed to run through Rice, that was kind of my thought as well, Cody, was they were going to take it easy to make sure he's fresh late. They weren't able to do that because Rice was hurt. Hollywood Brown was hurt. This year, kind of similar circumstance. So, no, I don't think he has too much on his plate. I think I wouldn't mind seeing, because of other issues in the wide receiver room, Noah Gray get some more opportunity. Not necessarily meaning taking Travis Kelce off the field. I would like to see Noah Gray and Travis Kelce on the field at the same time.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think that there's a movement where you can, I do think that they don't play Travis Kelce too much, but they ask too much of him. He's the only guy who they, for every week of last year and for the beginning part of this year, ask him to do what I think is probably too much. Like, he's asked to be a savior of an offense that is missing its wide receivers every week. And at 29, he might have been able to do that. At 35, 6? Where is he at now? 36 years old? I don't think he's should be relied on to handle the offense that way. And look, some of this is just happenstance or circumstance. They obviously thought Rashee Rice would be the player who would be doing that now. They obviously thought that Rashee Rice would be the player who's doing that now, and he's not, because he's suspended for his own boneheaded decisions, and because last year he missed some time due to the injury. So the hope is, for me, is that when Rashee Rice comes back, that impetus that he is like the savior of any drive that isn't going anywhere goes away. and that they can just use Travis in a normal, functional way where the offense, I still think the offense has a chance to, like, get it going later in the year. Maybe I'm delusional because they're 0-2.
Yeah, later in the year, the tricky part, though, as we, and this is where, like, at some point the wins have to happen, is the defense going to be good enough to help you out until you get to that point? Yeah, do I think the offense in week 9 or 10 is going to be way better than what it is right now? Yeah, I do, but by week 10, are they a team that has 3 wins, or are they a team that has 4 or 5 wins? There's, you know, that's the issue and the challenge that you have. The math doesn't work in your favor if all of a sudden this team is 1-5 or 1-4 and things like that. So, yes, the offense will look better. Do they have enough defense, and can they make just that big play when they need it in the moment? This is why I do think they need to force some turnovers. They probably need to steal some extra possessions, or obviously it wouldn't hurt to have a play that results in points immediately off of a turnover.
By the way, video coming out, Xavier Worthy is at practice again today. He appears to be wearing a small black brace on his injured right shoulder, which people were anticipating. Matt Foster had sent out some video. We don't know. He was a full participant. Yesterday.
Limited yesterday.
It was Royals who was full, right?
Yeah. Royals was full. We'll probably make sure we break a little early before 1 o'clock so we can catch some of Andy Reid's press before we get into a fan club Friday today. And we're excited, by the way, to have the crew from 106.5 The Wolf joining us, the new morning show, Jenny and Jagger. So we'll have Jenny Matthews, Jagger, Matt Gaspy joining us with our friends from Jay Rieger & Co. As we kick off a little fan club. But maybe we'll go to Andy Reid first before we officially launch a little fan club here on a Friday, because I do want to hear officially from Andy. Are they going to rule him, you know, questionable? Is he going to admittedly say, hey, no, he's playing on Sunday? I hope Andy just says that and we just move on and we don't have to wait till Sunday afternoon to find out for sure.
It's going to be a game time decision. Andy might play that game. He likes playing the game. And obviously at this point, I assume the Giants are preparing as if the game plan includes Xavier Worthy. I do wonder what kind of, like, target share he could get, because based on the way they were talking, he was about to get a massive workload on the opening game against the Chargers. And that might have just been a schematic thing, right? Doesn't mean they'd take advantage of it the same way they would against the Giants, a secondary that has different different weaknesses or strengths or anything else in between. But I'll say up to 70%, like, I'm willing to go down that far. But it's like, if he can play, then play him. Like, if you're risking the injury anyway, week 3 of the NFL season because you need wins, well, then he's just got to play kind of like a normal player, at least by the second week. At least by the Ravens, he has to be available. Any hope for Jalen Royals? I mean, we didn't talk about that.
Well, let's just say he's active. You might be right that because he's a rookie and maybe he doesn't have enough knowledge of the playbook to where it's worth it to be active. But otherwise, if he's a full participant, the way this offense has looked, I will, with no offense to Brownlee, who I know they like in the red zone, I'd rather see Jalen Royals active, because to me, long term, maybe that's not who he is yet. Long term, Jalen Royals, his body style and his route running, to me, he is way closer to Rashee Rice than Brownlee obviously is. In terms of just where they could place him in the offense. Yeah. So could Jalen Royals give you some more of that intermediary stuff? I believe yes. The fact that he's a full participant, I would say, why not play him on Sunday? I'm not saying he's going to get a ton of snaps.
He had such a quiet, because of the injuries and stuff too, he had such a quiet preseason. I have no idea where Jalen Royals is. And Andy's whole thing is, like, you got to practice, you got to play, because that was what he was pretty much knocking on Fulton. The fact that he was unavailable made him hard to play, and now he's unavailable again, which means the odds of Christian Fulton taking over the cornerback 2 job in a full-time capacity are months, I would argue, down the road as a result of it. So, like, part of me thinks, because of his lack of availability, Gold, that if we think Jalen Royals has a role, not even like a big role, but just has a normal role that people like in the offense, it's like 4 to 6 weeks from now. I'd love it to be sooner based on where they are offensively. Just history tells me, based on the amount he's practiced and everything else, I'm glad he's back practicing. I do think he could matter eventually. I'd be stunned if he was like a real factor in the offense for a few weeks.
I just want him active. I mean, even if you tell me he plays 8 snaps, that's fine with me. You have one package kind of, not even designed for him, but you just feel like there's an opportunity for him and maybe to get him somewhat involved. I'm with you that we have seen time and time again, rookie wide receivers with Andy Reid, even when they're forced to be it can take some time. Xavier Worthy last year, remember, yes, week 1 he had the touchdown. That was on like a jet sweep or end around or whatever. For Royals, it's not going to be that. It's going to have to be a true route running. He gets into some space or sure-handed and a quick, you know, he catches a 6-yard pass on a third down. He's like the fourth option, you know, on that play, or third option.
His body type is what I'm looking forward to, which we haven't seen out of this offense in the running game either. he might be able to actually break a tackle. Like, a corner might get an arm on his leg, and he might be able to just keep running forward. Woo-hoo. Like, I'll be honest, and I'm not... Please do not take this as the Chiefs should trade for Tyreek Hill. But I was a little envious when he caught that ball 6 yards and then hooked around those two defenders and then ran for a first down. Because you're like, I miss that kind of speed.
He's a special player.
That was Tyreek got the first down. Not Tua, not the offensive design. An individual player made an individual play, and he was personally responsible for a couple of plays that only he could do. And so, like, for Jalen Royals, it's like, can you just possess something that other players in this team don't possess outside of Rashee Rice, who's not available, which is break a tackle or two.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll talk some fantasy football with Paul Charchian of Guillotine Leagues in Matthew Berry, fantasylife.com. We'll get his perspective on week 3, who to start this weekend, how does he factor in what we're discussing with the worthy stuff into playing fantasy football. Patrick Mahomes, of course, even if the offense hasn't been great, fantasy-wise, he's been pretty damn good because of his ability to run the football. So we'll get into all that with Charch in just a bit, but it is that time of the week.
Just because you love something doesn't mean you're good at it. But Alex Gold and betting on sports?
Pretty, pretty, pretty good.
It's time for Golden Locks.
All right, let's go through a couple of the games. I'll start with the Chiefs game. We'll give our official score predictions, the Chiefs are -5.5 now. -5.5 against the Giants. There is a ridiculous trend on the other end. We talked about the Chiefs not winning on the road against the Giants. Night games at MetLife Stadium. This is, the Giants have not been a great football team anyway, but the Giants are 2-19 in night games since 2019.
Including, I mean, they were a bad team a huge chunk of that time, but still.
Still. And then last year, 0-3 straight up on primetime. Since 2017, Cody, we go back further. They're 1-11 in night games at MetLife Stadium. Yeah. They don't win at night at MetLife since 2017. One time. That's something that you may not say is the end-all be-all, but it's just another factor into this thing. I also just think the Chiefs defensively will force a turnover or two from Russell Wilson. He connected on the moon ball, but also late in that game, there was that interception. I think there will be an opportunity or two for an interception just because he's willing to just throw it up and hope. And it might work a time or two with Malik Nabers, but I also think there's going to be a time or two where the Chiefs will be able to get under a football and have an interception. I like the Chiefs -5.5 this week. Yeah,
I like that it's gotten down to 5.5. If you're on the Chiefs side of things, it gives you a little more wiggle.
Another bet, this is more season-long, so it's cheating a little bit, but we discussed the win total bets. I still think right now, if you can get, and you can, the Chiefs -115 to have 10 or more wins, okay? Maybe you don't think it's going to be a division-winning season for them. All right. You think they're winning 9 games? Come on now. So 10 -115. I love that bet still. We know the divisional odds are +260. That's another one to keep an eye on. But can the Chiefs get to 10 wins? That's -115.
Please gamble responsibly.
Yes.
But whatever your mortgage is, start with like that number. That's for 10?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. For 10
minus
wins?
-115. 10 or more.
What can I get for 12?
I'm glad you asked. +330. Yeah, +330 that they can get to 12 wins. That one I understand being a little more skeptical about.
Yeah,
but yeah, there's great value. If you think everything's going to be all right and they're going to get this thing turned around,
I think it doesn't have to be all right to get to 10 wins.
Unbelievable value. Then Monday Night Football, Detroit and Baltimore. Detroit is getting 5.5 points in some spots, 4.5 in others. Depends on where you look.
That's surprising.
Baltimore looked great offensively. So did the Lions. It is in Baltimore. It's a Monday night game. Lamar Jackson, some trends point that he's very good in a Monday night spot this early in the season. He's been very effective. I just like the fact that the Lions are getting 4.5 or 5.5 points. When I saw their offense show me that without Ben Johnson, they are still capable of being explosive. Yes, it was against Chicago. I think this will be a high-scoring game, but I'll take the team that's getting 4.5 or 5.5. What is nuts, though, the Ravens, you know they're favorites now for the 21st straight game. It's the longest streak right now in football. They've been a favorite for 21 straight games.
What's wild to me about that is the Philadelphia Eagles have won 19 of their last 20 games. How the hell have they not been a favorite in more games in a row than the Baltimore Ravens?
The last time the Ravens were an underdog, guys, Chiefs? Week 1 against the Chiefs last year. Yeah. So, a little thought there. Golden Locks.
Okay.
Last night I was talking to Dusty and Fesco on their show in the morning. It doesn't apply because we do this on Friday, but H had over 5.5 receptions was a bet we really liked. He had 6 catches in the first half.
I liked his, you might remember in my read from Underdog yesterday, I liked him to go higher on his reception yardage total. It was only like 43.5, And they're really bad. They struggle against running backs.
So, yeah, Achane went over his 5.5 quickly.
In the first half.
And then that field goal with 20 seconds or whatever it was to go, or maybe it was more than 20 seconds last night, got the over 50.5 in the Bills-Dolphins game. So we're off to a nice start. As far as our Circa Millions picks, we're back to just making picks, okay? Mm-hmm.
We're back there to trying
nine,
to win.
Nine entries went 0-10 the first 2 weeks. We did not. We wanted to, but we did not.
We are.
Are you? Is there any games you're looking at for our entries this week? I was keeping an eye on our spreadsheet to see what everybody's picking. Remember, yeah. We have to do consensus picks for our contest. It's different. And right now, everybody's put theirs in. It looks like Carolina, three people have, so that's a lock as far as that we're going to use, I should say. I don't know about a lock.
Carolina to win? Or?
Four people have Carolina plus 5.5, so we'll be using that one. It looks
like points for them.
Three of us have KC minus 5.5 or 6, so that's going to be one for our contest entry. It looks like we're guaranteed to use.
The other one,
Detroit is on 2.
I also
Dallas
had Cincinnati
is
plus
on 2.
Only because it was backup quarterback versus backup quarterback. And if everything's a wash, I'll take the team with points.
Chicago's on 2. I'm sorry. Chicago plus 1 is the one that two people like. So we'll have to send out an email and figure out the final two or three picks.
I don't want to be anywhere near that Chicago game.
Chicago, Dallas, yeah.
Why is it only 1 point between? I don't know. Something's weird.
Defense for Dallas, probably.
No,
you're probably right. Up next, guys, let's talk some fantasy football. Paul Charchian of Guillotine Leagues in fantasylife.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joins us. Coming up in about 25 minutes, a Fan Club Friday presented by Jay Rieger & Co. We got a couple of their canned cocktails. Looking forward to that. A little Border War canned cocktail today.
Yeah.
We've got some.
Will you drink one of the Missouri ones?
No. I will be drinking either the Beacom Berry, the Kansas Cooler. That'll be it. The other side, there's the Truman Twist and the Como Cocktail. Keep those away from Carrington. So we'll get to that. Plus, we've got our special guests in the 1 o'clock hour from our sister station, 106.5 The Wolf, the new morning show over there, Jenny and Jagger. So Jenny Matthews, Jagger, and their producer, Matt Gaspy, will all be in studio. But I want to talk a little fantasy football right now with Paul Charchian, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Charch normally joins us on a Thursday, but we obviously had a short show. So, Charch, thanks for working with us, man. It's all about these QB injuries. How do we navigate this? You know, we know Jaden Daniels is now ruled out for Sunday's game. We obviously know about Joe Burrow. We know about J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, it's bad, unfortunately. And, you know, quarterback injuries happen, but not usually five guys in week two. This is not the pivot you wanted to necessarily make. And losing Daniels officially is a pretty big bummer for sure. Obviously, Burrow just had his surgery. It's all bad right now. But the guy to go get is Jake Browning, the Cincinnati backup. This kid can play. He's a legitimate passer. He's got a little mobility to him. He's thrown at least one touchdown in all seven of his career starts. You remember 2 years ago, he had to start almost half a season, had at least one touchdown all seven games. And then last week, when he had to play most of last week's game, two touchdowns, ran in one as well. And he's actually run in four scores over those last eight games that I was just talking about. He's got T. Higgins. He's got Ja'Marr Chase. And the Vikings offense and defense may be missing 10 starters for this game. And so there's a scenario here where the Vikings offense, you know, is inept and they're punting a lot and the defense has got holes. So, yeah, Jake Browning is my official pivot guy for this week for those short on a quarterback.
When you look at it, is there any fear for you? Like I understand the idea of they're in a good spot, but they got a really good defensive coordinator there. Are you sure that Flores can't confuse Jake Browning in a way that he's not accustomed to?
Well, I mean, these two faced off against each other 2 years ago, and Browning put up 350 yards on Brian Flores. So, you know, with the Vikings potentially missing starting safety, their edge rusher, Andrew Van Ginkle as well, and their one of their other linebackers, Blake Cashman, I'm giving the edge here to the Bengals. And yeah, one way or another, you know, Browning's not, he's not hyper mobile. You know, he's not, I don't know, like Daniels or Hurts, but you know what he is? He will extend these scrambles. And then he just likes to tuck and run, and then he'll just go off running, on extended plays. So he's going to help with his legs to some degree too. Vikings defense has been pretty good so far, but I just think the totality of these injuries is just too much.
In one of the leagues, I have Jaden Daniels. I'm fortunate enough to have Daniel Jones on the bench. Is he a must start every week until proven otherwise?
Yeah. So I mean, Jones, what a great story. And I know we talked about it last week too, but you know, last week, what we were saying was, yeah, okay, you look great in week one, but that was Miami. Do it again against Denver, and then I'll be ready to believe. Well, he just did. And that offense, that Colts offense suddenly looking really, really good. And I'm a believer. You know, sometimes, how many times have we seen scenarios where a coach is under duress, he doesn't have the right quarterback, then the team's losing games, and then it turns out all that coach really needed was just like competent quarterbacking. And that's Shane Steichen with the Colts through two games. It certainly looks that way. I've got Daniel Jones. Well, looking right now, I've got him sitting at quarterback 12 this week. That is a really nice pivot option.
We're talking to Paul Charchian of FantasyLife.com and Guillotine Leagues as well. Now, a lot of people maybe, I don't know, reached on a rookie running back, or they certainly thought Ashton Jeanty would get off to a better start. I don't think it's panic time yet, or is it, when you look at Jeanty and some of these other top rookie running backs?
So we spent all this time talking about the draft, the NFL draft, and this is a historic running back draft class. And granted, it's only 2 weeks, but no rookie running back in the top 20 fantasy performers so far, including Ashton Jeanty, the 6th overall pick. Get this stat. I don't know if you guys have seen this. The Las Vegas offensive line, worst in the league in run blocking, giving him negative 0.2 yards before contact. That means Ashton Jeanty's getting hit on average before he's even back to the line of scrimmage. I mean, that part is not on him. And the other thing that Jeanty is doing well, in those rare instances where he has open space, he's beating guys. He's actually 5th best in broken tackle rate among starters. Now, Jeanty's pass blocking is comically bad. Have you guys seen the videos of him trying to pass block?
Yes, it's bad. He's just whiffing. Yeah.
And he is. And to the point that last Monday night, he lost almost half the snaps to Zamir White and Dylan Lauby. I mean, you're the 6th pick in the draft. You have generational talent that we have, the likes of which we haven't seen for almost 10 years coming into the NFL, and he's losing snaps to Dylan Lauby. That part is troubling, and he's got to get better if he's going to stay on the field, because he's got great hands that he can catch. But if you can't pass block, you can get on the field on third down.
Charge, some of the more active, sometimes just being active in NFL or in fantasy is a big difference. Who are your buy low, sell high guys in the early going? Are you going to get rid of ETN? You know, like everyone's got their own guys.
Yes, and ETN, by the way, sell high on ETN is a great call right now, because Bashal Tootin looks awesome, and so that might be an option. And by the way, your team, can we talk just Chiefs running? Can we pivot to that?
Sure, sure.
I mean, I'm talking about on Fantasy Football Weekly, my podcast, we have a thing called Three Tough Questions, and the third one's going to be, should you drop Isaiah Pacheco? And so we're going to talk through that as a tough question. My biggest concern is the Chiefs are going to trade for somebody, at which point Pacheco might not even be active on Sundays because he's not a special team contributor and he doesn't catch. And so, I mean, I think do you believe there's a real chance the Chiefs trade for a running back? So let me frame it up that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they do, though, it's to me at least 3 weeks away. And I would be concerned, though, that they would still give Pacheco the bulk of the touches, unless you think they're trading for Kamara or something like that. If they're just adding, you know, Damian Pierce, I don't think Pierce is suddenly going to get 80% of the touches.
Okay, but Pacheco had 11 snaps last week.
I agree. Yeah, the run game sucks.
the run game, now they ran him in a bunch of routes, 11 rushing snaps. But they ran him on a lot of routes, 21 routes out of the blue in week one and 19 routes in week two. Do you think that Andy Reid is trying to manufacture some way for Pacheco to get the ball through the air, although he's not getting targets, but he's never been a guy who's been on the field for 21 pass routes and 19 pass routes. And that's been weird too with him.
Yeah, people here want Breshard Smith, the rookie, the seventh rounder, absolutely, to start getting some more snaps.
Yeah, me too, because that he is a natural receiver. And doesn't that have to happen at some point soon?
Yeah, I mean, you'd think so, but at the same time, they'll probably wait. They're one of the more patient teams in the NFL, like it or not, which means they'll wait a few more weeks. They might even wait till they get Rashee Rice back in order to make those kinds of decisions. Since you mentioned selling on ETN, does that mean Tootin is your buy? I mean, buy low-ish, no. I guess, but...
Yeah. In fact, I think you have to pay too much for Tootin because we love fresh new running backs who look promising, and Tootin looks really, really promising. Here's the guy to go get for 70 cents on the dollar. Cincinnati running back Chase Brown. That's a fantasy manager who drafted Chase Brown at the end of the first round, beginning of the second round, and could be sitting at 0-2 right now, and Joe Burrow's out. So there's some panic baked into that fantasy manager. But here's Chase Brown, undisputed workhorse runner. No other Bengal has a carry this year. He catches passes. He's on a good offense, and defenses have their hands full of T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, and the Vikings are coming up next. This is your last window, or these next couple of days. Vikings have seen the most rushes in the NFL against them, and they're giving up the most rushing yards. So big Chase Brown game coming. Go get him for 70 cents on the dollar right now before Sunday.
We're talking to Paul Charchian here on 96.5 The Fan. Elsewhere in Kansas City, we talk about the running back situation. Xavier Worthy, we all think, is trending towards playing on Sunday. How do you play that if you're a fantasy player at this point, knowing that we really haven't seen him play this year?
Right, and here's my worry for Worthy, at least first game back. So the dislocated shoulder, if he's going to play with it, what you don't get is a big range of motion in that arm, and that's not necessarily a problem when Mahomes is sending you passes that are short and right on the numbers. But Worthy, who's obviously got great speed, but when you're extending downfield, the passes aren't going to all be in the numbers, right? You got to be able to extend out with that arm more. And so I'm worried that Worthy is going to see short passes in this game if he does play. And short passes just don't add up to a lot of fantasy points. So that's where I'm worried about the shoulder with Worthy. I think Hollywood Brown is going to be much more startable here. And by the way, Brown runs half his route from the slot. He's going to go up against a cornerback named Andrew Phillips, who has allowed the most receptions of any player in the NFL. 16 already. He's their slot cornerback for the Giants. So I'm still, my favorite play in the passing game is Hollywood Brown coming into this week.
When you look at the other quarterback stuff, Carson Wentz with the Vikings, typically Justin Jefferson was available in our guillotine league week one.
I bet he was.
And somebody spent a whole ton of money on Justin Jefferson. I mean, you have to start him no matter what. There's no choice there. Is there any other Vikings you'd play?
Yeah, the other fascinating play is Jordan Mason, because Aaron Jones just went on IR. And there's a lot of reason to minimize the passing game with Carson Wentz. By the way, have you heard the Carson Wentz stat that is especially salient for you guys? Okay, Wentz on Sunday will set the all-time NFL record by starting a game at quarterback for six different teams in six different years.
That's impressive.
That is impressive.
He looked awful in the one Chiefs game he played last year, but he was throwing it to absolute, like, I mean, he's throwing it to UPS workers. I mean, it's not like, like, I don't know that I can make a real judgment.
Speaking of UPS workers,
can I tell you a story? Yes, please.
Sure.
Okay, so normally I do all my radio hits on Thursdays, as you know, and my wife is nice enough to put a sign on our door that says, "Don't ring the doorbell, we're recording, you know, we're recording right now." And our dogs, because our dogs go nuts every time the doorbell goes off, right? So she puts the sign up, UPS guy comes, of course, rings the doorbell while I'm on the air. And so my wife comes charging out to castigate him, and he looks at her like she's crazy person, and she's saying, "Didn't you read the sign right by the doorbell?" He takes his earbuds out and he says, "I don't read signs. Well, at least you didn't call me an MF-er like the last person did." And he goes huffing back to his
Dude, wow. If everyone keeps yelling at you, shouldn't that be a sign of adjustment?
Yeah, right? I mean, you know, maybe it's on you at that point. Oh,
wow.
So silly, PS. Anyway,
Carson hopefully Wentz, it was. Hopefully the package was worth it, Charge.
Well, the package is the new iPhone Air. I'm
nice.
About
I have.
It.
I mean, have you? Okay. See, you and I can nerd out about this for a while. They'll get mad at me if I keep talking. But I have an appointment after work to go pick mine up at Apple Store. So ooh. Not the Air though. I got the. I just went with the 17 Pro.
I asked him. I didn't know he had to have an appointment.
Well, yeah, they dole out so many of them right now, right? It's all the rush to everybody that wants the new phone. Now, what are you upgrading from?
Because I want to find out if you're 14 Pro, 3-year-old phone.
All right, I'm doing 14 to 17 as well. So what was the compelling reason to go from 14 to 17?
So, well, I looked at the Air. I definitely looked at the iPhone Air. We talked about it with Drew as well and some reasons why. For me, the better battery life is the biggest thing. And then the camera is better slightly. Otherwise, I'll admit the Pro isn't as much of an advantage over the base iPhone 17 the way like it would be over prior years. So it's pretty close.
It seems that way. The Air is really different. I had not planned to upgrade, but the Air is, it's almost half the thickness and it's a third lighter. And I've got my phone in my pocket all the time. I don't need that weighing me down. There's, you know, it's a battle for space in there. And so I am very excited to have a phone that is going to be small and compact.
There you go. Paul Charchi, and we appreciate it, man.
I'm sorry I burned so much time on two dumb stories.
Nah, you know what? I like it.
We enjoy it. We enjoy it. There you go. Paul Charge.
You're the best. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. There you go. Charge is brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Didn't read the sign. I don't read signs. That's hilarious.
That's just a weird thing to say. I don't read signs. Like, because you can't read or just
how is he when he drives then if he's not reading signs?
Who knows, man?
Heaven forbid.
People just
driving our packages around.
The Android folks are filling up the text line. What a sucker, they're saying, for buying the newest iPhone. Okay.
How do you know that guy's an Android user? Maybe he just doesn't like to get new
phones. I can just tell.
And it sounds like you've interacted with these people before.
Yeah. Enjoy your green bubbles. I like the blue bubbles, all right? Thank you.
It's such... By the way, it's so insane that they've separated society.
Well, it screws up our group chat. All of us are fortunately iPhone, so our show group chat works. But there's a group chat for our picks we're trying to do, and I would have a group chat over text instead of email, except Spec is the only Android user, so I can't have him in the group chat. It's annoying.
You guys would be able to do a group FaceTime if you wanted to.
Screws it up.
Doing a group. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do a group FaceTime. I want to be in less group chats, not more.
Anyway.
Oh, so you didn't see Barber talk? He was working through the game with us last night.
I saw you. You guys were going back and forth. I turned on hide alerts. No offense. I saw the first text, and then it was constant, and I had to silence the notification.
Yeah, Barber was breaking down plays in some of them.
Two of the major group chats I'm in, both were texting during that time. I have them both on permanent mute. I'm not trying to see it in live time. Both in permanent mute. I looked out at my phone, and it said 71 missed messages. I just clicked it so it'd clear both the messages. Didn't read a single thing. Don't know what anybody said in either of those message groups. You're going to have to message me individually.
UPS driver backing up a fellow UPS driver on the text line. Look at this. He says, hey. And he said Josh, but he means Charge. He said, we can't leave Apple products without somebody being home, so get over yourself, Charge. He's saying that the guy had no choice. But again, the issue was the ringing.
Well, he didn't know that. He didn't say that, sorry, I have to make sure that somebody's home in order to leave this phone.
Yeah.
He just said, I don't read signs.
Someone says 38-year truck driver, I ignore signs. My license proves it.
It just like feels like it feels like a sentence I'll never say in my life. Like, sorry, I ignore signs. You're like, okay. Do any of you guys have like the? I guess on your apartment, you probably could do it. Like, should I put up like a no soliciting?
Oh, I've
sign?
Never had any of that before.
I haven't put up either. A sign.
I'll tell you right now. I just lie to them every time.
What do you mean?
They come up to the door and they're like, oh, you know, because they're lying to me just the same. Oh, your neighbors.
Oh, I just say, hey, I'm really busy with something. Sorry. I appreciate it. Sorry. I'm really busy. Thanks. And you just start kind of slowly shutting the door and then you're done.
Say like, they're like,
the longer you stay there and try to talk, it's terrible.
They're like, would you like this? I'm like, hey man, I don't own this house. Somebody else's. Can't be making those decisions.
You claim to not own the house that you're in.
Oh yeah.
You say it's not your house.
Yeah, correct. What do you think? They looked it up. Okay. They're not backing me up. I'm trying to get out of this thing.
And they'll come back when the homeowner's there.
They'll come back the next day.
Sorry, don't own the place. Don't know what to tell you. Find somebody else.
Yeah.
Just tell me you're
it's
squatting.
Funny, the text line right now. There, not only is there an iPhone Android war happening on the text line, there's also people
you
taking shots
that.
People taking shots at other trucking companies over other trucking companies. I'm not going to mention the names, but people are saying, oh, he must drive for this company versus Dang. This company. So, yeah.
In fairness to the Android users, iPhone puts up basically the same phone every year. Where Samsung's got phones that fold in half, and they got a better camera, and they got all these other
yeah,
things.
Yeah, look, I used to
it's
be...
It's not enough for me to switch,
I used to
it's
get
enough it, to notice it for sure.
I used to be the person that would get the new iPhone every year. I don't do that anymore. It's been 3 years. I think it's more than time for me to upgrade. My battery life, I can get a new battery from pay $100, or I can upgrade. If I trade this phone in, my monthly bill is not changing. I'm serious. I'm paying a $35 activation fee today. I paid taxes on the phone. And that's it. But I'm trading in this phone. The battery life is down to like 70%. Like it only maxes out at 70%. Now it's time for a new phone. It's been 3 years.
That's fine. I don't really care when people get new phones, just as long as they can afford it. Like whatever.
Yeah.
I also
you
like
do you.
Exactly.
I'm not anti. You know, the truth is, I'm not even like an iPhone loyalist. Like I'm anti having an Android or a Samsung or a Google phone or any of this stuff that is used over the years. You know what it is? I'm 41. And I don't care to learn a new operating system. I just know what
for
this
me,
does.
Honestly, Cody.
And I don't want to learn where all the buttons and settings
point.
Are.
It's a fair point.
I yeah. just know where the buttons and the settings. I'm going to sound like 90 years old right now. I already know where all the buttons are in my phone, and I don't want to look for new buttons.
Yeah.
I just know where they are.
For me, it's just everything synced. Like, I have an iPhone. I have, you know, like, the watch, the iPad, the MacBook. Like, it all works
You're
together.
Apple through
yeah,
and through.
Like, it all connects. If all of a sudden I have an Android phone, but I have the Apple, you know, I have an iPad, it all doesn't sync. Everything in my life syncs together. So I like it that way.
I would just... use a different one. If
I've had an Android exactly device before. I tried it for 2 years, many years ago. I didn't like it. That's all. I was an iPhone guy.
I had an Android for multiple years, too.
Yeah.
I also had the worst phone I ever had was the Nextel phone. I had the walkie-talkie.
You had the push-to-talk thing?
Yeah!
Or whatever
when
did.
I was doing courier work. And
you and Sprint made the same mistake.
I had the push. In retrospect, and for whatever it's worth, I know that like it was way too bulky. It was like carrying like a real kid's walkie-talkie in your phone. That walkie-talkie thing, at the time, my cell service... hit or miss would only work. That walkie-talkie would work in the middle of a volcano. So, like, we used them for courier. Be like, hey, I dropped this package off. Thanks, let you know. And then I used like a real walkie-talkie.
Must be nice, you know.
I actually didn't hate the functionality of it in a lot of ways, other than it was massive.
Cody's going to get one of those. We sold these when way back when I was in high school and I worked at Best Buy Mobile. We had a phone called the Jitter Bug. They still make them, I think, and it's for old, like literally for old people, like emergency calls only. I feel like Cody's gonna own one of those in about 20 years.
My father-in-law just got a smartphone. He had a flip phone,
yeah,
and not like a flip phone like the new ones are making. Flip
like
phone.
The like
like play Snake on a flip phone for ever.
No way.
He just got a smartphone in the last year.
Oh,
that's a big shift for him.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's still just using it like a flip phone, but that's fine. He doesn't want to learn
the Jitterbug jingle. Yeah, we don't have it ready, but if you search it, you guys have heard it.
If we're going to go to Andy Reid and we're not going to play the Vankel music, I will come back with the Jitterbug jingle.
When we come back, we're going to hear from Andy Reid. We're also going to have a fan club Friday, thanks to Jay Rieger and co. here on Cody and Gold.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.